2025 meeting of the Municipal Planning Commission. I guess our first order of business is are there any additions to the agenda, Kelly?
No.
No? Okay, with that, we have an agenda in front of us. Could I get someone to move the agenda? Doug? All those in favor? Okay. Next up, we have our minutes from the June 17th, 2025 meeting. Those were circulated earlier today. Did everyone have the opportunity to review those? Mm-hmm. Any errors or omissions?
No. Not that I found.
Okay. Okay, with that, can someone move the minutes?
I'll move the minutes.
Thank you. All those in favor? That's carried. Okay, action items. Today we have two development permits in front of us. The first one is development permit 2025-005. That is CNN Salvage. It is an application for an industrial shop, 80 by 100 foot, fencing of the entire property on 310 George Street. Kelly, can you give us an overview of the application?
The overview is the 80 by 100 shop. It is intended for a mechanic shop, office space, and they plan to fence the entire property with sheet metal closed in fencing, about 6 feet in height and white in color.
Okay.
I don't know. Pictures, but.
And he meets all the setback requirements?
Yes.
From the application that was circulated. Okay. Any questions at this time for administration? No? Is the applicant here?
No, I have a question.
Yeah, a second. The applicant's first. Is the applicant here?
I did not see them. No.
No?
They said they would come, but.
Okay. All right. Now people that are deemed affected by the application.
Where is George Street?
So that is the most northern street in the village. That's the one that runs east and west.
Yeah.
And so 310 George Street is actually.
I can pull a map up. Actually.
No, it's two blocks east of the concrete.
That way.
Yep.
So it will front across towards the lagoon. So it'll be on the eastern side of the lagoon. It doesn't front Camp Carmengay's area there, it's a little bit west of that. Yeah.
Across from the seed plant.
No, it'll be further east.
Way east, yeah.
Further east,
yeah. Yep.
Sorry, give me 1 second. I'm pulling it up for you.
So there's the lots with the solar plant on the solar farm. Then there's the lots that have kind of that pile of junk. Mm-hmm. And then there's the next one. It's going to be that lot.
Oh, it's that lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is sort of hard to see. Actually, it's really hard to see. So the solar farm is here. The kind of village piles of
junk
is in the middle. And then this whole block here is what this property is going to be built on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here, I'll circulate that.
Oh, thank you. I guess I could have shown this.
Okay, any other questions from the gallery?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I noticed that the applicant was that correct, CNN Salvage?
Yes.
So, is there going to be outside storage or outside sandblasting?
Not that I'm aware that they didn't indicate that.
That hasn't been indicated in the application.
Would they be allowed to do that?
Right now, with the, I would say no, because that there would be considered a nuisance operation if they were to do sandblasting. So if that were the case, they would have to come back and get permitted for that use.
A separate
yep.
tent or whatever. Yeah.
Because right now, the application is, can you read it again, Kelly?
So it is, the plan is to build a new shop 80 feet by 100 feet. Intended use for it is several things, such as a mechanic shop and office space built within the building. Plans to fence the entire property with sheet metal closed fencing, 6 feet tall, white in color.
What are they salvaging?
His company is actually Metal Salvage, and his main lot is out east of town.
Steel.
Yeah. Yeah, so they'll go around.
What kind of services are going to be available for that lot?
Right now, it's our understanding it's not public service. It's for their own, taking care of their own fleet.
You'll have power, water, and sewer?
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant services as far as...
No,
currently there's power and gas out there, but there's no water or sewer.
But they can operate without water and sewer?
That's one of the things we have to discuss is the planning commission. If it's to remain under a just for their own use and not a public facility, items like that have been permitted. But if they want to open it up to the public and have front office space and things of that nature, then the safety codes would require that there would be water, because then you need your extra washroom facilities and things of that nature.
They said in the application that there would be offices.
Right, but not
often. I would assume that people would be there, so they would have to have some toilet facilities, maybe water to drink.
Right, but it's not, at this time, I don't believe it's, is it considered public?
It's not that they've indicated, no.
Okay.
They've just indicated it's like so basically it'd be an office, like if you had a home office or something to that.
Turn around. Thanks. Okay. Any other questions? Anyone else consider themselves deemed affected?
How big a fleet do they have? How many trucks will be going in and out and stuff?
I'm not sure.
Is there going to be a traffic issue here? Or?
We already have that.
Is it a large fleet of trucks or a small fleet?
I think he just has come with a trailer.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think most of their fleet parks out over here. On my lot, unfortunately.
So they're likely already traveling through town, so it's not likely to affect a whole lot.
And that is the truck route out of town, is George Street and Pacific.
Okay.
So there's more traffic?
Likely not more, no.
No.
Probably no more than that.
It's just a private business.
Yeah.
No heavy trucks yet.
There's no way to know.
No, like I said, right now, with there exists.
Down the line, maybe, because that affects the road.
Yeah.
Spring. Yeah. You know, water coming up. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be more maintenance if those trucks are allowed to, you know, haul on there.
They would. Well, right now, the access is contemplated off George Street, so that is on the truck route.
Pacific, right? No.
Yeah.
It's considered a truck route?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the county's liable for the maintenance, right?
We maintain George Street, yeah.
Well, you just fixed the road. How much did you spend?
Have to have a truck.
Well, okay, I'll just set my mouth there.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it is a truck route already. So.
Has been for years.
Mm-hmm. On that street, but...
Okay. Other questions? The latecomers, questions on the CNN salvage? Yeah.
Is your mining operation going to be tied into the grid?
We're not there.
Yeah.
That's next.
Yeah.
Where are you at right now? Sorry, we're coming late.
This is the CNN salvage shop application.
All right.
Okay.
That is my number one question.
Okay.
What's the timeline?
Where is it going?
So when a development permit's issued, they have to undertake the construction within a 12-month period, and the permit itself is good for 24 months.
So when they say salvage, that means like CNN salvage. That means
that's their company name.
Okay, that's just that. Just wanting to know if there's going to be a lot of noise from clinging and clanging of what's going on in that area.
Right. Like if they were to, so right now, as we indicated earlier, their main site is east of town. And that's where they do the auto recycling and things of that nature.
Yeah.
If they were to undertake auto recycling within the village,
mm-hmm.
that's not part of this application. They would have to come back for that. So right now, it's the application's to approve the shop
mm-hmm.
and the function of the shop.
That's an easy step in.
Yep.
So how easy is it for them then, further down the road, to easily turn it into a metal salvage place?
It's a whole nother.
It's a new application.
It's a whole nother application. Oh, so a whole nother process through this.
No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a discretionary use.
Okay.
Yeah. So only permitted uses within the land use district.
Okay.
Kind of. Well, that being said, last meeting we had a permitted use and we still heard it. So, yeah.
When you say discretionary use, is that also direct control?
No, direct control is when the council, so MPC wouldn't even hear it if it was direct control. That's when the council gets to, they decide what's allowed and what's not. I don't think we have any direct control land use districts in the village. Actually, I know we don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we go back to the water just for 1 second? They have indicated that they would like water access, so that's a discussion between the village and the applicant. Moving forward is what that would look
okay.
like. So. And then they would just do septic, like a field or tank?
At this point, yes, because there isn't any septic lands over there.
Yeah.
I guess as long as there's enough water for one great big car wash, right? Truck wash.
Right, but it's not, right now, it's, once again, it's not, it's they're not applying for a truck wash. They're applying for a shop. So if they wanted a truck wash, yeah. So they could have a wash bay. But no, a truck wash would be, yeah, you're right, would be entirely different.
So if they want water there, they have to pay to get that water there, right? For all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a development agreement.
Exactly, yeah.
With the village.
The applicant.
A little
bit
late.
That's the applicant.
Okay. Corny, we've had a couple of questions come up regarding your development.
Okay.
Okay. One of the ones, how big a fleet do you guys currently operate, and what do you expect for truck traffic?
Right now we got 3 trucks.
Okay.
But that would be if one of my boys is parked across the road here all the time, but he would probably park his truck in my
right.
on that piece, and he pulls a cattle line.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
So my comment back, seeing as you weren't here, I tried to answer that on my own. Basically, the trucks that are parked over across the road right now would move over to your lot, correct?
Yeah.
So I guess with that, up to 5 trucks.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a couple of them I have nothing to do with, but maybe they would be interested in parking
mm-hmm.
up there.
Okay. What else do we have, Kelly?
I didn't take notes on the other question.
Okay. Question number 2, Corny. You're looking. You'd like to get water to the facility, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then, for that, we'd have to enter into a development agreement with the village.
I know when I bought it, they said there was lots of access to water. So.
Okay. Okay. The other question that came up was. Currently, your operation is east of town, so we, at this time, we wouldn't expect to see an increase in truck traffic,
no.
because you're already traveling through
no,
to get
it. No, we're traveling through. It would not, shouldn't make a difference, because
okay.
that's going to be totally separate from.
Okay. And then right now, and once again, the application is currently, at this time, is for the shop. You're not looking at moving your salvage operation from the
no,
farm out there.
No.
Okay. I think those are the main ones. Mm-hmm. You guys got?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have questions for the applicant? Sue?
No.
Karen?
That's what I figured it was for the shop.
Yeah.
No.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Okay, so then I'll ask one more time. Is there anyone else that considers themselves affected by the development that hasn't asked their questions already? Okay, I'm getting mostly no's now. That's okay. All right. So I guess with that, if the MPC is looking to approve this development, our planner, Steve Harvey, he did put out some conditions. He could be with us here tonight. And but we do have 12 different conditions, and then I guess probably 13 with the water component. I'd add on enter into a development agreement, but I think for everyone's benefit, I'll just... Do you want to read them, or do you want me to... Someone want to read them? You guys want me to read them? Alrighty. Okay, so condition number one, this is pretty typical. So no developments authorized by the shall commence until at least 21 days after the issuance of the development permit, or if an appeal is made until the appeal is decided upon. Condition number two, the development shall be carried out as per the submitted permit application plan. The development shall be in full compliance with the Village of Carmagee Land Use Bylaw and meet all required setbacks. Condition number three is any outstanding taxes owed to the Village of Carmagee shall be paid prior to the commencement of this development. Number four is all required Alberta building, safety code, fire code permits, inspections, and final reports be provided, and a copy of internal building drawings and plans required by safety codes officers be provided to the Village of Carmagee. Condition five is the applicant must contact utility safety partners, so that's formerly Alberta One Call, to locate and mark any buried utilities prior to groundbreaking. Number six is the applicant is solely responsible for obtaining and complying with any other required municipal, provincial, or federal government permits, approvals, or licensing. Number seven, the applicant is responsible for installing any shallow utility infrastructure needed for the development at the applicant's expense. Number eight is the finished lot grade should allow for positive drainage away from the foundation of the building and not drain onto or impact adjacent properties. Number nine, all exterior lighting must be downward cast. Number 10, the parcel and business access off of George Street must be completed to the satisfaction of the Village of Carmagee at the applicant's expense. Number 11, a business signage application has not been provided and signage is not approved with this permit. Any signage must comply with the Village of Carmagee Land Use Bylaw, signage standards, and a separate signage application will be needed where required by the criteria of the bylaw. Number 12, development must commence and proceed with reasonable diligence within 12 months of the date of issuance. If initiated within this period, the permit will remain valid for 24 months from the date of decision. And then number 13, the applicant must enter into a development agreement with the Village of Carmagee.
For water.
Yep. Okay. Everyone heard those conditions?
Yes.
Any additions, omissions? Okay. Well, with that,
I will make the motion to approve this development permit with those
conditions as read. Okay. All right. All those in favor? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, we have Development Permit Application 2025-006. This is Asgard Solar. This is an application to build a 900-kilowatt ground-mounted solar installation in conjunction with a 280-kilowatt cryptocurrency mining operation. And this, too, is also on George Street. This is 215 George Street. So that is basically, yeah.
Oh, there, kind of like this.
There you go.
Right across the street from the seed plant.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Grandpa. This one is north of George Street, and it is adjacent to the lagoon, the sewage lagoon.
Okay, Kelly, can you provide us a brief overview of the application?
Okay. So, the described proposed use is the installation of a 900-kilowatt ground-mounted solar system, including racking panels and electrical infrastructure. They also intend to establish a 280-kilowatt cryptocurrency mining operation co-located with the 900-kilowatt solar energy generation. Crypto mining equipment will be housed in a self-contained building similar to that of a skid-mounted, insulated, and ventilated job trailer specifically designed to accommodate the mining units with integrated cooling systems and a dedicated work area. The three small-frame shacks currently on site will be removed as part of the project. We intend, the applicant intends to have 12 rows of solar racking and panels with a space in between the middle of the rows. Each row will be 180 feet wide, 16 feet high as shown in the site plan, by 12 rows with 50 feet between each row of solar. So, I guess the blue lines are the proposed location of the solar panels, and then the yellow, small yellow square there is the location proposed for the building. I was just going to rip it out.
Here. I'll circulate that one now.
Thanks, Mel.
Yep.
I'm not sending my phone.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have printed copies.
Anything further, Kelly?
That was everything in the application.
Okay. Any questions for administration? No?
From us or for us?
No, from us to Kelly? No? Okay. I guess we'll start off with the applicant. If you'd like to provide any additional information that you may feel will be helpful. And,
sure.
Yeah.
So we have changed the layout a little bit from what, I guess it's changed quite a bit. So we're going to have six rows of solar panels, and in each row will be 24 racks.
I agree.
Yeah. I have some information here I can pass along to you. The container, the mining container, has changed a bit as well. There's a, from Google Earth, it looks like a 30 by 10 concrete pad, and in the, I guess that would be the southwest corner approximately, and that would be a good place to put the mining container. We will use, for the solar, we'll use screw piles for foundation. The land will stay largely the way it is. We wouldn't anticipate grading or topsoil removal or anything like that. We'll use, I think, kind of in the neighborhood of 70% of the lot for the solar. The Bitcoin mining doesn't take very much room at all. Probably the primary impact would be noise. You already have a solar project here, so you kind of know what the impact of a solar project is. There will be some noise from the Bitcoin mining. So we've done a noise study on a similar project that's in Foothills County. So what I've done on page 2 is I've drawn a circle that is essentially your 40 decibel circle. Or less. That's the same circle that's drawn on that colored map that you have. Sorry. The circle is basically right to what I think are the, what might be the two residences that are closest. One is along Camburn Street, and the other one is up in the northeast part of the map.
Excuse me, could you speak up a little bit?
I can barely hear you. Yes. And I moved up front.
Sorry. I'm kind of losing my voice, so I'll try to speak up here. So in the colored map, you can see that according to another study, and it will vary, according to another study, that the that circle will be between 30 and 39 decibels.
How far?
What does that mean?
So 40 decibels is about what is in a library, a refrigerator running in the house. That's about what 40 decibels works out to be.
Be quieter than the train.
Yeah.
Good point. But I have to warn you, it will be all the time.
Yeah, but the train comes and goes, right? I know that noise is
common. How far does the train need to go? The study is...
So, right near where the Bitcoin mining container is, it'll be loud. You'd be able to hear it there. But when you get close, when you get to the residences, the first residence, it's going to be that noise level that Patrick was just saying.
Yeah, 40 decibels. And that radius is, what, 500?
It's 435 meters.
435 meters around the radius of it, of the extent. So it's quite a distance.
What if it's a constant mountain?
It goes to Cameron.
If it's a constant hum, that will bother me.
You don't have to worry about my health.
There are things that we're trying to maximize to reduce that with within the shed. There are different things we can do to kind of reduce that. So we're looking at that. So yeah, we want to make it as small as possible.
Could you put a cement barrier around each building?
That's something we're looking at, like a sound wall type of thing, you know, that would reduce it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is kind of showing you the, not the worst case scenario, but with, you know, with the minimal on there.
The city of Calgary for traffic.
Yeah.
They build the big berm.
That's right.
Right. And then put
And there's things we can do with the building itself as well to muffle the sound.
The berm could knock a lot of that sound down.
Yeah, berm or a sound wall. If you're in the city of Calgary at night, the sound is higher than 40 decibels. Here it's a lot quieter.
I know that. Right. We live here because
it's quiet. That's
we don't
want
to be Calgary.
I know it's all.
Okay, we started getting into some of the questions with the applicant, which is fine. I guess prior to undertaking any more questions. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on with your application?
I don't think so. I think that's kind of got it. The solar is, as you know, that's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
There is some visual impact, but that's about it. With the Bitcoin mining, with the crypto mining, there's a noise impact. And you know, it says here 40 decibels is a quiet room, like a bedroom or a living room. It's a quiet library. I would suggest it's like this room right here.
Yeah, with that.
What you got here is about
40 decibels with your ear,
We will be less than that. At the residence, not at the mining container. At the mining container, it was out.
So you said within 450 meters of the building, you will still hear that 40 decibels of noise?
I probably won't, but you might.
And that's going to be like a 24/7?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, we might as well be straight up with you. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
And there's any someone monitoring that? Like that could double or triple, and or is that the way? That's the guarantee, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I don't live beside it, but I would be concerned for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won't be louder than that, and we are prepared to do a noise study to, you know, with a qualified expert to. That's show what it's going.
That machine runs at, you know, that level, and it doesn't increase or wrap up or RPMs. It runs at that level and stuff. Maybe I'll make just a couple minutes to give you a little bit about Asgard Solar. We've been in business. We're a Calgary-based, family-owned business. We've been in the oil and gas business for 45 years. We've worked on pipelines and oil and gas refineries, and then about 15 years ago, we added solar as energy. We thought energy is energy. And then about maybe more than 12 years ago, we sold our oil and gas division, got out of the pipeline business, and kept the solar business and kind of grew that. So we're local. I think 80% of the people that work for us are either farmers or from Saskatchewan. We grew up there, so we know. We have solar projects all through Alberta. Our racking is our own design. It's made in Lethbridge or Regina, so it's locally made, local. We try to keep everything that. So we're well aware of trying to fit in. Who's close here? Ween's Farm, Grace Community Church has their solar system. They'll pass out some that we've done around here that you can see what it's going to look like. So we're open to, you know, to input and doing what we can to make it work. It looked very similar to the solar system you have here, just a few more rows of that. That's okay. What it'll look like.
So what if there's questions on water? I'm more concerned about water than the noise.
We don't have any need for water.
Yeah. Zero?
Yeah. Zero.
Okay.
We don't need services other than electrical. And
you're providing your own.
Well, we will be. I think somebody asked the question, would we be connected to the grid? We will be.
Okay.
And so we need a grid connection. But we don't need water. We don't need sewer. We don't have. We won't have employees at the site.
Okay.
Other than, you know, on a.
So then you're not doing transactional cryptocurrency because that uses a lot of water. Like, I don't understand then.
Our Bitcoin miners are air-cooled. They'll use, on these big projects, they'll use water. And I'm not completely sure what they use the water for, because in my view, I would think they'd have a closed-loop system where you just cool with water, but then you cool the water a little.
It's circulating on the Internet everywhere. Right?
Yeah.
Every transaction takes a swimming pool of water.
Yeah.
That's what we've been taught. So that's why I'm concerned,
yeah.
As a citizen of here, that if it's drawing water in summer, we don't.
We won't have a well, we won't have a connection.
Water connection or anything.
We won't have any water whatsoever.
And if you pick your own electricity, I don't see any. I wouldn't care, to be honest, but it looks like you're providing a chunk of it.
I had a question. In curiosity, I was wondering why the mining container isn't behind all of your solars instead of in front. Just a little more insulation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. We could do that. What we have done is there's a concrete pad there that's perfect for putting our mining container on. The power is coming in from that end. So if it goes on the other end, there's more lines to run. And so on.
Additional cost.
But it is a possibility to move it further back than it doesn't even reach the town. So we just want to keep it open.
Yep.
How about long-term health effects?
Thank you.
From the noise, the humming constantly.
Yeah.
Well,
headaches.
Yeah, it's
from
just like this room, right? Like the sound that'll be around here.
I've got there some information from, again, downloaded from the internet, but it says while 40 decibels is considered safe and comfortable sound level, prolonged exposure to any noise level above 85 decibels could potentially lead to hearing damage. We won't be anywhere near 85 decibels.
That's a 450.
Because of concern about the sound, and I think there is with everybody, why doesn't the village just insist putting sound barriers on?
Exactly.
Is yours, Bill?
I agree.
Maybe.
We have yet to even approve the development, let alone insist on anything. So, I mean, we're not there yet.
Until they have to be replaced.
The panels will be there when you're gone and I'm gone and everybody in this room is gone.
The panels have a 30-year
guaranteed. They're guaranteed to produce 85% in.
Once they're done, they cannot be recycled at all. It's all going to the landfill.
There are companies that are starting to recycle because it's glass, aluminum, so they can take that stuff off. After 30 years, they don't stop producing. They'll still be at that 80%, and they'll still that's where they level out. So they're not garbage. They're just at a lower production level. And the cost of 30 years from now, what's the technology going to be? Like there are companies right now recycling panels. They're taking the glass. They're taking the aluminum. Some are decommissioning. Yeah. So, but that's 30 years from now.
Well, they are really.
I don't mean it.
What concerns are there about EMF? Does it produce? What levels of EMF are being produced?
What EMF?
Electromagnetic force. As in G5 and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I have no information on
that. Yeah, the solar panels don't produce, they just produce electrical 240-watt voltage, just like your power lines, your grid, producing, and the lines will be underground and connected to the existing wires. So we won't be running wires over residential or adding new overhead lines. It'll be a standard connection.
Thank you.
And a positive will be a tax base for the village, right?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
We
so
need.
How does that help the individual?
Yeah, but if it drives everyone up,
then we don't have to worry about our neighbor.
Is the land sale contingent on whether this goes through or not, or did you already purchase the property?
The land sale is contingent on whether we get a development permit.
So you could still go put this in your own backyard.
Well,
and leave us alone.
I don't have a 10-acre backyard.
Okay, but you're an oil company. You can pick that. Just got you.
Okay, questions from the commission? Do you guys?
Hold on. There's a question here.
A question about the decibels again. You said it's 40 when it's 450 meters away. What about right at the area? What are the decibels there? I didn't see that.
I think they're.
Just looking at your chart, you're 55.
55.
Okay, so it's like right at the area, and it'll be going out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
55. And that would be more defined in the noise study. What I've got here is just another noise study for another location.
Does the noise study that's done take into account the community itself and the ambient noise? Because we are an exceptionally quiet community. Like, just my own testing, very rudimentary, around 35 to 40 decibels on a Saturday, like when people are out. So it's, and that's just nature sounds. So that's the predominant sound in our community. So the sound study that was done previously, did that take into account the ambient noise in that area already?
It does.
Okay.
Now, I think they generalize to some extent. Like, there's they assume that noise in a rural area is a certain level, and then they add that to what noise would be produced by this system.
Because at night, that was during the day, and at nighttime we're even quieter. So, yeah, it's a very quiet community.
And then with the wind, it could be different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To be honest, the reason we are looking at this land is because it is zoned industrial, and we felt that that was a better place to put a system than, you know, in an agricultural setting. But, you know, I mean, if you guys say no, then we'll go to use ag land. And it isn't like our system will, you know, we're not the people using up the ag land. We use like 7 acres or 6 acres or something.
Yeah, it's not 3,300 acres.
We are building a new shop by High River, and we have 6 acres, and we're putting this little bit about this size right behind our shop.
Yeah,
so exactly. It's going to be part of our shop. We're going to be living with it, so we're comfortable with it living right next to it. Just like you said, in our backyard. Yeah, we believe in it, and so we are putting it in our new shop by High River that we're moving out of Calgary into High River.
When is that expected to be completed?
This fall. Just outside, just a little bit north of Cargill, about 4 or 5 kilometers out of
High River. That kind of mining thing you're putting in there, too?
Yes.
Yep.
Could I have a quick moment? I came here a year ago. We lived in B.C. for 17 years. We're back in America. I lived at Christina Lake, and they built a Bitcoin mine about 2 miles out of the town, down near the American border. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, it's a lot bigger than what this sounds to be. There were a lot of exposed transformers down the side of the building, and it was loud.
Yeah.
And for the people that lived near it, I felt for them, because they put a lot of money in developing their properties. Yeah. And this thing was... We lived 2 miles from it, and there was a forest in between us of trees.
Mm.
And we could still hear it on a still night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously it didn't bother us too much, but for people who were close to it, it was extremely bad.
Yeah.
But like I say, that was a big operation. I don't know that how much bigger than this it was.
Yeah, probably a lot bigger. Than the size of this shed is what that it's...
It's 80 by, or sorry, 8 by 20 feet.
8 by 20 feet is, so it's a small shed. Like it, yeah.
And a third of that is used as a little workshop end for it. It's really, for the mining part of it, it's 8 by 12, I believe.
The other thing about that BC one was that it dragged a whole lot of power out of the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But this one doesn't.
And it caused brownouts.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably just a mining operation and pooling out here. We're producing power for it.
And when was that built? And how long ago was that?
About 5 years ago.
Okay.
Where is that? Kate, I got a couple questions. I mean, you touched on it a bit. You know, the life of the panels and things like that. Right now, I mean, you're 900 megawatts. Obviously, that's under what the AUC comments
kilowatts.
On. Kilowatts, pardon me. Yeah. Yes, because of it. You're right. I mean, with that, I mean, larger projects do have to have a reclamation plan.
Mm-hmm.
What have you guys contemplated for that? For end of life and things of that nature? Because I don't know, if I'm lucky, I'll still be around when the panels are done. So.
Well, as we say, they're not done in 30 years.
Yeah.
They're at 80% of their original level at 30 years.
One reason we're using the helical screw piles, because they screw into the ground just like a wood screw into the wall. So you can just unscrew them to take them out. There's no concrete that's used. It doesn't disturb the soil. It's just a hole in the ground. You can take them out. So they're very, very easy to reclaim. We won't be, like Neil said, we won't be leveling the ground or doing excavation.
Yeah.
We'll leave it as natural as we can. And then after that, the steel is steel. It's galvanized steel. It still has value after that. If we if we do have to take
steel,
it down.
Aluminum, glass, that can all be recycled.
Yeah, so there's value there.
So you're trying to get hooked up with the other app.
Oh, yeah, we're really right next door, so yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
How will that property look all year round? I understand you're not going to put much down on the ground. You're not going to change it much. Does that mean it's going to be full of tall weeds and everything all the time?
Oh, no, we maintain.
That would be maintained. That's what I was wondering.
Would it be cutting it, or we're looking at sheep or other agricultural uses? A very common thing that we're doing a project coming up with Olds College, where we're trying to incorporate different agriculture into solar. They're doing some studies. We're going to build one of these right by Olds College, and they're going to do soil testing and different crops and see what grows under them. And so we're trying to incorporate. We know there's value in the land.
Okay.
Where did you get your numbers of the 40 decibels from?
We had a noise acoustic engineer do a noise study on our High River project, the project that we're doing in Foothills County. And we basically took the numbers that they had on that study and kind of plunked them into Carmageddon.
They're the same size project. Same number of panels, same number of miners. And
that is just an estimate by a non-noise engineer. But as I said, we'll, as long as, I guess if you folks were to tell us, well, we want to hear a pin drop in the middle of town, then I guess we've got to look elsewhere. But if, you know, we're kind of, if it's reasonable, then we would do the noise study specifically for this project. And you know, that would be part of what we're doing. We're not expecting.
Will wind carry that sound farther? Because we don't get any wind out here.
I guess it does. I suppose the wind might carry. You know, I mean, wind carries all kinds of stuff, right? But you probably get some wind.
That would stop that from carrying, right?
We're predominantly southwest.
Southwest.
But you can hear a pin drop.
Yes.
Yeah. We noticed the quiet.
I can't. There's too many dogs close to us.
Hold it down. Except when the body, when you can say the pedal down, it's longer.
If the project does get approved, are you planning on doing a noise study?
We will do a noise study as a condition of approval. Like we would expect, we would have to do a noise study to get approval, not.
Not the other way around.
Not the other way around.
I do have one question that's been brought up to me. Do you have any plans for expansion? So if one is built and it's beneficial and to you as a company, do you have a plan to expand to
more units?
We
have lots of plans to expand, but not here.
Not here. Okay. Yeah.
Like
so
I think the maximum size of any project we do will be this size.
Yeah. Okay.
And to Kelly's end, is that you were building an 80% of the land already, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Something like that. So there's not much left.
So there's not,
for you. Or not much room left to put in. Yeah.
We don't want this noise in our town.
It's not just the noise.
Ow.
It's the vibration. It's not what you hear. It's what you feel. I did noise studies for the auto industry for over 30 years. It's not just what you hear, it's what you feel. At 80 decibels, you must wear hearing aids. Wear hearing protection. At 60 decibels, that's standing beside a vacuum cleaner. If you're going to come in at 40, you're under hearing protection. It's what you feel, not what you hear. Your eardrums are sensitive to vibration. Not just noise.
Yeah, it's a vibration.
Good point.
32 years I spent in the auto industry studying machines. Their vibration, their sound. At 80 decibels, it's hearing protection.
But I'm still curious about you being tied into the grid. Can the village grid handle being tied in? If you backfeed the grid, can it handle the backfeed?
Yeah, I mean, Fortis won't allow us to connect unless the system will handle it. There's a three-phase line.
Three-phase line right by
over
the
seed plant.
Seed plant. And so, yeah, we'll...
On a 900-kilowatt system, you're going to produce about 4,700 kilowatts on a five-hour sunny day. Your mining operation is going to run 6,700 kilowatts. You're already over 2,000 kilowatts in the deficit. So you're going to be drawing on the feed.
Well, I have no answer to that. I'm not an electrical engineer. If Fortis says we can't tie in, then we won't be building the project.
Yeah, as in your battery backup.
We have no battery.
No batteries.
No battery backup.
No.
So what are you going to do when we hit 10 days of darkness in January? Your solar's not going to produce near what you need.
Yeah, we'll draw.
You're going to be drawing on the grid.
We'll be drawing on the system, yes, on the grid.
Can I comment on this?
Which can cause issues to the grid.
It's just like your solar system in town or a solar system on the house. You produce during the day, and if you overproduce, your meter counts that.
And most then at house night systems have a backup system.
And you pull back at night.
Most house systems have a battery backup.
I can comment on the village's infrastructure that we have for the solar panels. The only time that we see a significant drop in production is on smoky days. So we still get great production through the winter months, even with the shorter days. Of course, we do get significantly more production during the summer when we have 12 and 14 hour days, but we do still get significant.
Yeah, it's the possibilities. You know, we put streetlights up on intersections to stop accidents, but we know that isn't true.
Yeah. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
So it's a possibility.
Everything's a possibility.
That's,
you know, are we going to risk drawing on the feet, or are we going to...
That would be up to Fortis. That's not a village infrastructure. That's up to Fortis, because Fortis builds the power infrastructure.
If I brown out in the middle of January because it's mining operations go.
It's up to Fortis to make sure that what they're approving to go in is allowable on the system that exists, or they augment the system to make it allowable. Like that's all Fortis that does that.
Yeah, Fortis does studies and puts us through studies on the maximum, the minimums, and different scenarios and what they have to send through the lines to meet different demands, whether a farmer starts up his aeration, his 8 bins one morning, Fortis supplies that. So they do all those calculations, but that's not our... Yeah, like Neil said, we're not the engineers. We leave it to the experts to Fortis to tell us whether we can or can't fit it in there.
But has any of your other operations shown any kind of interrupt in stability? Has it been smooth?
So you're referring to any of our other solar projects?
Yeah, any other projects.
No.
That are tied into any of the feeds, yeah. Like High River or...
No.
Nothing drawn?
No.
Like your analysis should show that. Nothing drawn?
Yeah, we have, like that I passed out there, some of the projects we did around, you know, Bull Island, Rosemary, irrigation projects. And in actuality, it kind of helps the grid because you don't have one big power plant producing electricity, you know, up by Edmonton and pushing it down. You have multiple small solar, it's called a dispersed, distributed power production. So if that big plant goes down, it goes down. These farmers, they have, you know, solar spread out, so it actually stabilizes. Our situation with this project is different. We're not feeding in to supply your houses as far as, but it's better to produce it here than try to pull it in from, you know, from Calgary or Edmonton. It actually eases the grid in that sense. These smaller ones around the farms.
Okay, so I guess with the comments that we've heard to point, and I guess first off, did Doug or Sue
Karen, you guys got questions?
No, I've asked.
Okay, so I guess with that, I mean, it does seem that there's probably more information that we're needing to, as the Municipal Planning Commission, to make a decision. I think you guys are probably aware of that. So, I mean, I got the noise study. Obviously, that's been front and center here this evening. You know, and I mean, full disclosure, I do this at the county. One of the things that was brought up here is, and we have seen it at other solar installations, is just the vegetated management plan and a weed control plan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something we're going to need to see from you guys too. Okay. Then, I mean, 30 years out, you're right, what's things going to look like then? But I mean, a reclamation plan of some sort, that's, you know, that would be prudent as well. And then I don't think this one would be too onerous either. You know, just confirmation from Fortis. I mean, based on what you proposed, just the one pager saying, yeah, like, they should be able to say that the infrastructure in place is suitable for your development.
Fortis is very difficult to get those one pagers.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
The process of whether it's this size or a farm irrigation is, we put in an application to Fortis, they look at the size of the solar system, they look at the demand, and then they say yes or no. So we can't really put in a full application to Fortis unless we know whether we're going ahead, type of thing. Because you have to own the land or have an agreement in order to put in the application. So but we'll see if we can probably
do it.
Yeah. We have looked. There is some information. It's called the hosting capacity map, and it does show that there is capacity, an excess of capacity here on this line. But maybe we can get something from Fortis to say.
We just care about the noise. Is there something in there now about the noise?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, an actual noise study for
like
here.
Beside the building, driving by, walking by.
Yep, I mean, a good noise study will have.
Because that's also our McFarland Trail, right? Our nature trail in town. So it's important to have a good idea what that's going to do to our nature area. And
does anybody have any idea what how many decibels are produced when the trains go by?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't measure that the other day.
Lots.
Lots.
I don't even hear them.
That you said?
So.
I mean,
like when I was just using, I just have a decibel meter on my watch actually. It's just like a really simple little thing. And it was similar to G3 running. My concern is not that it's overly loud, but that it's constant,
yeah.
Right? And being that we're such a quiet community, I would like to see that sound study to make a more informed decision. Because I feel like protecting protecting that quietness of our community is pretty important for our property, like for our residents. So,
okay. So I guess to go over those four items again. So the noise study, vegetation management and weed control plan, reclamation plan, and then confirmation from Fortis on the drawdown. Yeah. Anything else, Doug?
When we were talking about that berm or wall or whatever, are you doing a wall around your one in High River?
No.
And I guess, I mean, you guys, I mean, you've done this before. I guess you're going to see as your consultant works on your noise study.
Yeah.
You know, you may find that there is benefit just moving it to the north end or putting in some mitigation measures or something to that effect. But I'm not going to tell you how to do that.
So. Yeah. Well, I have no idea either.
So I don't know.
I think we can.
So I guess with that, I mean, I don't know. I just recommend to table it till those four items are completed. And
I agree.
Yeah, we're fine with that, of course. Okay. We didn't expect to come here and get an approval.
Yeah.
No, well, we appreciate you coming and talking.
So I guess with that, Doug, if you want to make that motion to table it.
Yeah, I move to table this until some of the studies are completed, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay. Everyone hear the motion? All those in favor? Okay. Huh. Well, that's it. We'll adjourn at 7. Holy.
That's pretty good. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you very much.